Welcome to Bare Roots,
the podcast that unearths the truth.
Allegedly.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina.
And I'm Shannon.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bare Roots podcast. Today's episode is going to be a little flashback moment, and we're talking about the pair skating Winter Olympics back in 2002, the whole scandal that went down. And we thought this was a good topic to cover because right now the Winter Olympics is happening. So we really wanted to capitalize on this pop culture moment, you know, go Team USA, and talk about some things in the whole Olympic, the sporting world, that was kind of controversial. And like, this was the perfect episode to talk about it in timing. What, Shannon, how are you feeling about it?
Good. I'm feeling good. I didn't know anything about this until you suggested that I watch the episode from the Netflix show Bad Sport. And it was just one episode. Each episode examines like a different sport scandal. But this one was called Gold War. And it was about this figure skating scandal in 2002 at the Salt Lake City Olympics. And yeah, it was a really, really good episode. I was completely drawn in. And I realized in that moment that you are my source of all sports, like semi-documentaries or like all sports entertainment. Because you had me watch Cheer and you had me listen to that Aaron Hernandez podcast.
Yes, I did. Oh my God. Yes, yes, yes. You're right. I am kind of like your sports analyst, like in that realm.
Right.
Like, this is some good stuff. Yeah.
I don't really like sports, but you always find the little things that I could get into.
Just the little nuggets, you know? Like, yeah, there needs to be, because you know what it is too? It's never about the sport. Well, like it is to a certain extent, obviously, but it's like the drama, it's the scandal, it's the personalities way beyond knowing stats or whatever. You're so right. But that is an amazing podcast. People, if you would like to listen to an amazing, interesting podcast all about Aaron Hernandez, I want to say, was that tied by NPR? There was some sort of, it was like a big media. Yeah. Company. I can't remember, to be honest, but I'm sure if you look it up, and it talks all about him. I'm digressing, but yeah, it talks about him, his struggles, his career. It's so good. Just takes you on these twists and turns. But yeah, this is a very good story. And I too, before watching it, I had no idea any of this has happened because we were pretty young when the 2002 Winter Olympics were happening. And at first I thought the scandal was going to be about, I think it's Nancy Kerrigan, which was a situation where someone beat her leg so she couldn't compete.
Oh, that's, no, is that
Tonya Harding?
Tonya Harding, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty scandalous too. But this one's a little bit different. This one's like a little bit more political.
Yeah, the figure skating world is very wrought with, well, I guess like Olympics in general is wrought with controversy. Yeah. I was looking up different lists of like the top scandals in the Olympics, and there's just like so many of them, from corrupt judges and you know, attacks like that.
Yeah. I mean, so we talked about the in the summertime Jewel,
yes,
from Atlanta. So it's like there's so much that happens during the Olympics, so this is always so good. It kind of reminds me of, not really this particular topic, but just like the drama of figure skating. Do you ever watch that movie? I think it's called like Ice Princess.
Oh, did I watch Ice Princess?
Just like, I feel like that is ice skating, you know? Just like, it's so competitive. It is catty. And what's hard about the sport is that it's all subjective too.
Yeah. Yeah. I had no idea about the point system before researching this. And it really is a subjective, and you don't, if you think they just looked better doing it, then you can give them points.
Yeah.
It's even though so there are a lot of, there are like a lot of technical things that you could hit right or not, but it's still not, it's still an art form too.
Exactly. It's so difficult, which what makes it so interesting. And so this story doesn't lack any
spice.
spice. Thank you. That's a great word. So let's dive into the spiciness, shall we?
Okay, before we get into the spiciest, I'm going to take us back to the history of figure skating.
Let's bring it back.
Like, where was this invented? How did it work? So ancient people were ice skating, and they were located in present-day Finland, and they're thought to be the first people to develop the ice skates some 5,000 years ago, made from animal bones. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And this way they could save precious energy when ice fishing. So they could just beep up to different holes and they mm-hmm. could not expend too much energy. And then the earliest known skate to use a metal blade was found in the same general area, but it was dated at 200 AD and was fitted with a strip of copper folded and attached to the underside of a leather shoe. So
mm-hmm.
got some metal, but it's still basic.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, these first ice skates had a pole to push yourself along because they couldn't, like, you couldn't propel yourself on these, which
that'd be interesting.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see that in action.
Mm-hmm. Like getting kind of like a skier,
like, yeah,
with the poles to keep mm-hmm. them upright. But yeah, I can see that.
Exactly. And then the Dutch further developed ice skating in the 1200s because they would skate from village to village on rivers to deliver messages. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1850, a Philadelphian man named Edward Bushnell introduced steel blades to skates, and this allowed for more demanding maneuvers. This is where we get into like more figure skating and not just your run-of-the-mill skating from point A to point B, like mm-hmm. strictly utilitarian. No,
yeah, I think you're right. Yeah,
utilitarian. Yeah, so now we're getting to do some more different tricks. And not long after that, Jackson Haines of Vienna added ballet to ice skating. So this is where we get the art mixed in. And figure skating is actually the oldest Winter Olympic sport because it was first contested in 1908. And then again in 1921, and I had to remind myself like when the first Olympics were. So the first general Olympics, like with other countries invited, reminiscent of what we have today, that was the summer of 1896.
Mm-hmm.
And then they decided to try out some winter sports in 1908. And that's where we get figure skating, but we didn't have a first real Winter Olympics until 1924.
That is interesting. I did not realize it's been there since day one.
Yeah.
Like even before day one.
Even before day one. And it's a popular pastime, you know, ice skating. Yeah. And some people, especially obviously in cold climates, they're just kind of thrown onto the ice at early ages. And that's why some countries are just so freaking good at it, because their kids are trained at such a young age.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense.
So let's fast forward to the 2002 Olympics. This is why we're here today.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2002, Russia had won gold in figure skating for 42 years in a row.
Yeah. And they were dominating not just one particular category. It's like single man, single women, pair skating, just dominating.
Dominating. I looked up the record because I just wanted to see what this actually meant. And as of 2019, the record is as such. So Russia has 80 gold medals in figure skating. USA has 55. So we're a full 25 behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Austria has 36 and Canada has 35. So again, we have like a lot of medals numbers wise, but mm-hmm. gold and actual medals themselves, Russia is dominating.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see how Russia would want to hold on to this legacy and mm-hmm. wouldn't want anybody to beat them.
Exactly.
In 2002, there were two power pairs for figure skating. And these are the two couples that we're going to talk about today. It's going to be bad. These last
it's
names.
It's going to be bad. Real bad. And you can't even look at me to help you because I can't help you.
I even tried looking up how to say them via Wikipedia and the pronunciations on Wikipedia. Like I had to sort out every syllable and it wasn't working out. So I might just do
an apologize. Yes. And we apologize in advance.
Yeah, there's really nothing we can do about this. On the Russian side, there's Elena B. I'm just going to say B.
Yep.
And Anton S. On the Canadian side, there's Jamie Soleil and David Pelletier. When I was watching the episode, this is what I thought the controversy was going to be about, because there's a warm up before they do their performances.
Yeah.
And so the couples are out there together and they're just like throwing each other up in the air because they're trying to practice their tricks and stuff. Well, Jamie accidentally ran into Anton while mm-hmm. they were warming up, and she just like got the wind knocked out of her. She had misjudged. She was off going to do a jump on her own, and she saw them and she figured that they would like turn, but they didn't, and she ran right into them. And when I first watched that, I was like, oh my God, is this like, is she hurt? And then yeah, is the controversy yeah. that they plan to do that on purpose.
Me too.
But that was not the case. She was able to walk it off, and she and her partner, they, you know, went behind the scenes and they didn't watch the Russians' performance because the Russians were first and they just didn't want to get into their own head. So Jamie recovered. They did their thing.
I think the reason why they showed it was because before they even skated, tensions were high between the two.
Right.
And so just going through that little collision, just like, oh my God, you know, like what's going to happen? You know, clearly, I don't know, this is going to manifest into something more, which of course later it did. So intense.
Right. And they are the two best pairs mm-hmm. in basically, I guess, the world at this point.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah
so yeah, of course the tensions are really high. And the Russians did their performance and it was a excellent job. Like, they did mm-hmm. fantastic. They only had three minor mistakes in mm-hmm. the whole performance, but the Canadians came on and they crushed it. They had a completely flawless, not even a little tweak of an ankle wrong. Mm-hmm.
Yep. The synchronization was just perfect. Everything. You couldn't deny it. Like, there, if you tried to find something, like, there wasn't anything.
There wasn't anything there. People yep. were going crazy.
Yeah.
And they even knew, like, as they were doing the end of their routine, they're like, we just did the hardest part. Like, we got this in the bag. And people were mm-hmm. losing their minds.
Yeah exactly. And they were very strategic with the song that they chose. Like mm-hmm. it was an American, or it was from the movie Love Story, and they picked like song that they took out of it, which is just perfect because you're in Salt Lake City, it's like the home base is in the U.S. mm-hmm. So, and of course with them being Canadians, just so close to home, people loved them, and they were dating, so it's just like a beautiful story.
Yeah, you could see the love on the ice. It was just mm-hmm. the chemistry, fantastic. Mm-hmm. So when the scores came in, Russia actually won 5-4. And the countries that voted for them was Russia, China, Poland, and Ukraine. And then who voted for Canada was the US, Canada, Germany, and Japan. And France was a swing vote, and they voted for Russia. Mm-hmm. And people commented on how it was like a Cold War face-off with those countries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At the time, scores were based on the 6-point system, and they were scoring half on technical merit and half on presentation. I was looking at the scores and adding them up because they're so close. It's like 5.8, yeah. 5.7, 5.9, you know, like all these very, very close numbers. And the Russians' average score was 5.82 and Canada's was 5.84. So mm-hmm. freaking close. But Canada technically had a higher score, but France still awarded the Russians. So that's what everybody was shocked. They thought for sure the Canadians had it. There was a lot of confusion, didn't know what was going on. And that's what really, it kind of just spiraled into this whole controversy.
Yeah. And it was immediate. It wasn't even the two Canadian pair skaters wasn't they were talking trash. Oh, we should have won, like mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah. This was people were talking about something seems off, something seems suspicious. How could this be? And the media was all over it. Instead of it just turning into kind of like, I don't know, a little gossip, like, how could this be, you know, and just mm-hmm. kind of accepting it. It spiraled into something completely
right,
like new and different.
Yeah, people weren't just going to let that go. And mm-hmm. you're like, oh, well, they chose that it wasn't them. Like, no, no, we got to investigate this.
Exactly. So new information started spilling, and that is what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about all about the controversy. But first, we got to listen to a word from our sponsor. Alrighty, let's dive into the nitty gritty. As people were talking about it, speculating between the people, the media, turns out there was some wishy-washy sketchiness happening with the judging system. So as Shannon mentioned, the French judge was the swing vote. And this was a judge, her name was Marie-Renée Lagané. I am so sorry to this person. and she really was the epicenter of the whole scandal. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to call her Marie. And so Marie allegedly succumbed to the pressure from her federation, okay, the country, to award a gold medal score to the Russian pair, leaving the Canadians with a silver.
Mm-hmm.
So the French judge really drew suspicion quickly. There was a story that came out right after the whole judging and ceremony where Marie returned to the official's hotel and she met up with a woman named Sally Stapleford, and she was the chair of the International Skating Union's technical committee, and confronted her. So Marie had like this emotional breakdown in which she allegedly said that she had been pressured by the head of the French skating organization by, I think it's Didier Galhouet. sorry. To vote for the Russian pair, regardless of how the others performed. So she's like spilling the beans. She's like, oh my God, people caught on. Like she, if this is true, she was like, oh no, you know, people are catching on, almost like this guilty conscience, if you will, allegedly. And so she reportedly repeated this at the post-event judges meeting the next day. Of course, like media is not allowed there. So it's just kind of like a he said, she said situation. Mm. And it was alleged that this was part of a deal that if Russia won this pair figure skating, France would win the ice dance competition a few days later. However, in a later signed statement by Marie, she denied taking part in such a deal and also stated that she had truly believed the Russian pair deserved to win. And it should be noted that the French ice dancing pair did win gold. So it, again, these things are alleged, but she supposedly admitted that she was pressured to vote for Russia, but then she later denies it and said, no, no, the Russians I thought were the winners. Like they're the ones who deserve to win. What is the truth?
It's yeah. And it's hard to tell because it's one person's word over the other.
Yeah, exactly. And so the International Skating Union suspended Marie for 3 years and barred her from the 2006 Turin Olympics. And she hasn't been a judge at a competition since. This has really marked her. And yeah. Found some quotes where she said, I knew very well who would vote in favor of the Russians and who would vote in favor of the Canadians. I was almost certain that I was the one who would award the Olympic title. What I feared would happen really did. She said that the judges at the time were regularly courted by interest groups, including like pro-Canadians, pro-Russians, or even pro-Chinese. So clearly there's some corruption if that is true. It's sad to think that without even seeing the performance, people already had their idea of who they were going to vote for. And as Shannon mentioned, like very like Cold War mm-hmm. type of, you know, division. And I think for her, she like the biggest fear would be them doing such an amazing job where it would be such a close call, yes, versus if it had been like the Russians had fallen, mm-hmm, then there's what should you have done? You know, should they fell and like the Canadians did a perfect flawless thing, or if the Canadians had fallen, or if there was just like some bigger mistake, but because they were so on par and so perfect, it's a tough one.
Yeah. Really put her in a spot. I was thinking that as well. I was like, they're really banking on somebody, mm-hmm, making a mistake. Yeah. Or specifically that the Canadians are making a mistake because, you know, they want the Russians to win.
Right, exactly. When she was asked by media if she had been pressured by Didier, who was also suspended over the scandal, she said that Didier came to see me. I told him, piss off. I don't know. Leave me alone. Let me judge my competition. So it sounds like she's, hey, no, like I stay true to what I thought was the winner. And she still remains shameless to this day. And she maintains that if the competition had taken place today, she still would have put the Russian pair in first. And her reasoning is that the technical density and the complexity of the Russians' performance was much superior of that to the Canadians. And that the Canadians' performance was, of course, magnificent, but it was easier to carry out. But when you ask the Canadians, like, you know, what do you have to say for that? They just dismiss it. Like, they really don't believe it. They don't think that's like a fair and accurate, mm-hmm, kind of vision of what had happened. So yeah.
I do have to say, when I was watching it, that thought did cross my mind, because you're watching the whole performance and it was stunning, like stunning, mm-hmm, stunning, stunning. But there was a thought that went through my mind. I'm like, they might not have taken as many risks as the Russians did.
Right.
Like,
right.
Obviously, I don't know anything about how the difficulty of these jumps, but
yeah,
by looking at it, I was like, it looks not like they took the easy route, but like maybe just a degree mm-hmm, easier than the Russians did.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly.
So I don't think that statement is completely unfounded, but mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I still think that the Canadians should have won.
I agree. And it's just crazy how, again, she allegedly said it and admitted that she was influenced and pressured. But then when you talk to her personally, she says, no. Like, she's all so confusing. In the summertime in July 31st of 2002, so a couple months like after the Olympics, mm-hmm, apparently there was a man named Elimzan Tok. Tahunov. Definitely butchered that. He is a Russian citizen who was apparently kind of like a organized crime boss, and his nickname was like the Little Taiwanese, was arrested by Italian authorities in Venice on U.S. charges that he masterminded the fix. Although he was released from Italian police custody without being charged, amidst attempts to have him extradited, thank you, to the United States in 2002 to 2003. And he allegedly was hoping this would give him a French visa. And to this day, the U.S. has an arrest warrant out for him, but he lives openly in Russia. So we kind of have this web of people. We got this, mm-hmm, guy who apparently was this mastermind and was connected to the French guy of Didier, mm-hmm, say, hey, you know, we need to have your vote, like you guys are the swing vote. And then you kind of have like this boss, apparently this is all alleged, just like breathing down Marie's neck, like, hey, mm-hmm, you are in charge to make this happen. I got it, the call from the boss in Russia, and we got to make this work. And like, I don't know what deal could have happened behind the doors between those two, but something, some way, the U.S., you know, claims that he's the mastermind. So does that mean there's truth to it then? Marie, right, really was, you know, like influenced, or was she a solo person and like, truly believe the Russians didn't want to win, but she did admit to get pressure, but she was like, no, I'm not listening to it.
Right.
But at the end of the day, corruption was there.
In some way, shape, or form.
In some way, some shape, or form, whether it was like the briberies, you know, people saying, hey, like, vote for us, da 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 da. You know, to this guy, I don't know, insanity. So we'll talk about the aftermath, digest, and talk, mm-hmm, about our thoughts. So of course, you know, there's going to be some changes made after this. So they revised the point system and they rewarded skaters for executing difficult elements that was introduced to replace the 6-point scale. Mm-hmm. And it was aimed to better represent performances and safeguard against the manipulation of scores. And after that, they actually ended up for just a bit using or having the judges be anonymous, like after the scandal, so that way you couldn't like attack the judges for however the scandal was. But it was quickly removed to ensure that judges could defend their scores. Corruption if you don't have it, but then it's like, ooh, it might even be better to be anonymous because no one can know. So let's just keep bribing you. Like, don't worry. But now they've like, okay, we got to reel it back because that's also not working.
Yeah.
And Marie insists that she had actually called reforms to the judging system at the time. She says that she was made a scapegoat for the result that displeased the figure skating establishment, all sports fans and whatnot.
Right.
So that's kind of interesting. And at the end of the day, we do have some, like, you know, good news if you're on Team Canada. A week after the performance, the Canadian pair were awarded gold medals. And it was extremely awkward. So the Russians kept their gold. Mm-hmm. And then they were bumped up. They got their gold. And it was just like a really awkward ceremony with all four competitors just receiving gold. In theory, hopefully, like, they're not connected to this mess. But right. It just got super messy. And now they're just like sharing this podium, the gold. And it's just like, okay, this is uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who really won? But yeah, what do you think, Shannon? What are your thoughts? Like, where's your tinfoil hat on Marie?
I think something fishy was going on. I don't think that the Russian pair knew anything about it, so I think they are safe. Mm-hmm. In the show, they were interviewing Elena and the coach, and they were like, it's impossible, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, yeah, like, they didn't need you to be involved. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you were going to mm-hmm. work your hardest because you're at the Olympics. Like, they don't need to add extra pressure on you to win because you're already there to win. Mm-hmm. So we don't need to tell you that we have this secret deal going on. But I do think that there's a lot of corruption and just, I guess, fraud.
Yep.
It's not, like, crazy to me to think that she got pressured, whether or not. Like, I don't really know if she truly feels that the Russians did a better job, she could have.
Right.
But it wouldn't shock me at all to find out indefinitely that he did tell her to vote a certain way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
What about you?
No, I agree. I think if I had to put my tinfoil hat on, I think she was pressured to vote for the Russians. I guess the jury's still out for debate. Like, did she really think that they deserved to win or not? But I think what's interesting is just her allegedly taking back the claims where she's like, oh, yeah, I was pressured. I really do think the Russians deserve to win. I don't know. I feel like that part of it, kind of like the post-decision and like the post, you know, just like blabbing the truth, might have been a safety thing for her. I don't know if maybe somebody threatened her and said, like, listen, you need to take back your claims and just die on this hill that the Russians deserve because, like, we'll come after you and your family or whatnot. And I could see that being true. So that's kind of like what I'm thinking. She just needed to cover herself up because she did not want to get in trouble with somebody.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I could totally see that. Mm-hmm. I did also think, because when she was in the hotel and when she first told somebody that she was pressured, mm-hmm. I was wondering if, like, she wasn't actually pressured, but the person that was at the hotel was like, how could you have? And she was like, she didn't want to, she just was like, I was pressured. And then it turned into a whole thing. She's like, no, actually I wasn't pressured. I was just wanted to get out of that conversation. I thought that could be a possibility too, but
she was interrogated.
Yeah, she was interrogated and she was like, because she got so much heat for choosing, quote unquote, the wrong couple. She'd be like, well, I was pressured to do it. It was like, So maybe it's that, but I have money on that somebody told her to go that way.
Yeah, I agree. And then, like, threats were made if you know, stand by that decision. Like,
right.
You gotta. Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting story. Figure skating is crazy. You know, we could probably do an episode on Tonya Harding and
yeah, for sure.
But we'll have to see. We'll have to stay tuned to see who the winners are this year.
Yeah, I'm excited for it this year. Where is it? I forget. It's in China, isn't it?
It's in China. I want to say it's in Beijing.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's so funny. Well, not really funny at all. It's hilarious, but it's like not the right adjective I want to use. How, because the Summer Olympics got pushed back, just how quickly we're having Olympics with last year. Well, yeah, I guess now last year in the summertime, and it's like 6 months later, it's like, okay, I'm ready for the Winter Olympics. Like, whoa, we have a 2 year break, but we're just going for it now.
Right. I know. I was like, didn't we just have the Olympics? But yeah.
What's your favorite winter sport to watch? Like,
definitely figure skating for sure.
Yeah. I think mine is figure skating and speed skating.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
On the rink. Ooh, that's really, really good. Like, I love that. It's so intense.
What's the ones where you're in the little sled?
Bobsledding?
Is that what it is?
Where you're in the tube almost, like the tunnel? Yeah, but there's a part of me, I think that's the commoner word, but I want to say there might be like a for more professional.
Isn't it like luge,
something like that. It's crazy how dangerous that is too.
Yeah. It looks dangerous just by looking at, well, all of these winter sports looking, you know, like the snowboarding.
Skiing. Yep.
Yeah.
Don't forget about the classic. What's the one where you push?
Curling.
Curling. It's a fan favorite. We all love a good curling.
I've tried curling. Yeah, it's good. The luge.
There we go.
That's really cool. Yeah, excited to watch it. I don't have cable, but I'll figure it out.
I'm sure you can watch it on some streaming.
Yep.
Well, that concludes today's episode. Go Team USA. We're rooting for you guys.
Woo!
We're here. If there's any. Imagine we have an Olympian listening to us. That'd be awesome.
Wow. Good luck.
Good luck. Make us proud. Actually, you already did.
Mission achieved.
So hopefully we don't have a scandal, you know, any corruption this time. Gotta watch out for that. Best of luck to all the athletes. And be sure to follow us on Instagram at Bear Roots Pod, B-A-R-E Roots Pod. There you'll be able to stay notified, stay up to date with all our episodes, and be sure to give us a 5-star review. You know, tell us how much you love this, and we love you guys back. So until next time, bye.
Bye.